I want to invite you, if you would, to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're just going to spend a little time in the Word this evening. And at the end of service, we're going to spend a little extra time in prayer tonight. Does anybody know what's going to happen the next couple of weeks around here? Oh, yeah, school starts. How many of you students are looking forward to going back to school? Can I see your hands? God bless you. I see those hands. How many of you guys are dreading the day that school starts again? Okay, that's not everybody. So how many of you just don't care? Like, it just is what it is. Okay, all right. I was never excited about going back to school when I was growing up. I was counting down the days till school was out, the day we started. And that was all my school career. I never loved going to school. The best thing about school for me was recess. And I would say lunch, but that was not really all that great. But I, hanging out with my friends, getting to see my friends, and recess, like that's what made school good. So it can be a tough time. We've got some teachers in our church, and you got to pray for them as they go back to school. They are literally on the front lines. In I don't want to upset anybody tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and just call it enemy territory. Like there's a lot of adversity in schools. There's a lot of darkness in schools. There's a lot of things pushing against God and the gospel in schools. And I thank God that we have Christian teachers who are going into that environment and being a light for Christ in that place. So thank you. I'm not trying to paint a picture like schools are like the deep, dark, godless jungles of the Amazon or anything. I'm just saying they're like the deep, dark. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But it is definitely something we want to pray for. So we come back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Last week we ended at verses 10 and 11 with a challenge to use the gifts we've received so that God in all things will be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it's vital that you and I, as followers of Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures, discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts to the glory of God. Now, unless you think I was clever enough to come up with that, I stole that from Adrian Rogers. Discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts. And I use that tonight because I think it's easy to remember and it's fitting. Because we understand from the Word of God that God has gifted all of those who trust in Jesus with spiritual gifts. He's done that. He's gifted all of us. So, if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray. We're going to start reading in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And I want to share with you some challenges tonight in regards to your spiritual gifts. And I think it's appropriate for all of you students who are going back to school that you would use the giftedness God has given you. You are uniquely you. You are who God made you to be. He has given you your mind, your heart, your body, your physical attributes, your mental acuity. He's given you everything that you are, and he wants you to use who he made you for his glory. And he wants you to use who he made you to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all of you going back to school, all of us going back into the world, every time we walk out of these doors, that we would be who God wants us to be and use everything he's given us for his glory. So let's pray, and then we'll read verse 7. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I pray you'll bless your word in spite of me. Lord, if anyone in this room or watching online has never been born again, Lord, they've never trusted in Christ as their Savior. They don't have the Holy Spirit sealing them and keeping them. I pray that tonight, before this message is over, they will repent of their sin and unbelief. They will trust in Christ alone as Savior, call on your name and be saved. And I pray you'll help all of us who have been saved, that we would die to ourselves, be filled with your Holy Spirit, and walk with you day by day. Please bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity or godly love among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. For God in all things, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Please be seated. The word gift, or free gift, as it's translated in other places in scriptures, it's used a lot of different ways throughout the New Testament, and we want to make sure that we get it in the right context. There's times when this idea of gift is applied to financial support. You give a gift to help somebody else in need. The Apostle Paul talked about that, how he received a gift that helped him to get where he needed to go to preach the gospel God called him to preach. So sometimes it's used as a financial gift to help somebody. Or sometimes it's the gift of a person's nature or their state of mind. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when he calls it a gift for him to remain single. Now, people have debated about whether he was ever married or not married or if he's widowed or whatever. The fact was, when he wrote the letter, 1 Corinthians, he was unmarried, and he called it a gift of God to stay that way, to stay unmarried. And some people are gifted to singleness. Then he uses this word gift in the idea of the knowledge or peace that we get from God. In Romans 1:11, it has that idea that it's a gift when you know God and you have peace through knowing God, the gift of peace. And of course, the greatest gift, the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal salvation. So sometimes the gift is referring to the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ, God's only Son, giving himself for us, and the eternal life that we get freely through faith in his name. And you can read about that in Romans chapters 5 and 6. Tonight we're going to talk about a little bit about other gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about gifts, and some of these gifts are what we're going to call tonight miraculous sign gifts. And in the early church, God gave them the ability to do miraculous things as signs that what they said was true and from God. So they had a message. They had the ability to perform miraculous things. These were gifts of the Holy Spirit given by the Spirit of God. They could do miraculous things as signs that their message was from God. And in Romans chapter 12, we see that there were also gifts or abilities to do the work or ministry as part of a body of Christ. And so we're going to call those ministry or service gifts. So you got miraculous sign gifts, and then you have ministry service gifts. I'm going to argue tonight that the miraculous gifts have been done away with, but ministry gifts are very much alive and well today. And you and I need to figure out how God has gifted us so that we can do the work that God has called us to do. As a side note, there was also gifting to ordain ministry. Timothy talks about that. Paul talks about that when he writes to Timothy. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he says, the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands of the presbytery, or the laying on of my hands as an apostle, there was a giftedness that came as an ordained preacher of the gospel, ordained to the work of ministry. But here, in 1 Peter 4, it seems evident to me that Peter is referring to spiritual giftedness given by the Holy Spirit for the work of ministry. What did he say? As every man has received the gift, even so minister or do service out of that same giftedness to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And here it lays it all out for us. Let me ask you real quick. Who is gifted by the Holy Spirit? What's it say in verse 10? Every man. That means that every person who is a child of God. Remember in 1 Peter, he's writing to the strangers that are scattered abroad everywhere. Why were they strangers? Because they were foreigners in the world. They didn't belong to the world anymore because they were citizens of an eternal kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. So we're talking about saved people. And he says, everyone who is saved, every one of the saints, everyone who is part of the kingdom of God, you have been gifted. Everyone has received gifts. Okay? You've received the gift. What gift? Well, whatever gift God's given you, you want to minister the same one to another. So everybody gets a gift, and what are you supposed to do with your gift? Give it away? Give it away? Minister. Amen. So the word minister has the idea of being a servant. Literally, in that day, they would have said house slave. So you're supposed to put yourself down under everyone else and serve others. Now, if only the Lord had given us an example of that kind of service. But wait, he did. Amen. Before he went to the cross, he took his outer garment, his coat off, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he got water, and he knelt down in front of each one of his disciples, and he began to wash their feet. Amen. He served them. He ministered to them. Listen, it's my understanding in that day when you went to somebody's house or you went into any building almost, the hospitable thing to do was to provide water for people to wash their feet. And if you were affluent enough, you had enough money that you had a house servant, a minister, that one of the lowest tasks that they would be given would be to wash guests' feet when they came into the house. So a guest would come into your home and your servant would get the water and they would wash people's feet. It was the lowest of the low of services to do. And the Lord Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, kneeled down and washed feet. How much more should you and I kneel down, humble ourselves to serve others? So everybody gets a gift, and that gift is to be used to serve others, to minister one to another. That means I serve you, you serve me, they serve us, we serve them. It's serving one another. Well, you say, well, I don't know how to serve. I don't know what to do. In verse 11, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what does it mean? Well, it means in what you say and in what you do. What you say and in what you do it to serve other people. So I'm going to speak for the benefit of other people. And what I do, I'm going to do for the benefit of other people. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to find myself messing up big time in this. Because so many times I say things that are going to help me. And so many times I do things that are going to help me. And we've got to learn that it's not about us. It's about other people. And we say, Brother Isaac, it's not really about other people. It's about Jesus, right? I know you're super spiritual. So you're not. No. It's not about others. It's about Jesus. But you know what he taught? He taught that we serve him by serving others. Amen. Give a glass of cold water to somebody. What do? You do it in the name of Jesus. And as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, the Lord said. Amen. So we serve him and we do it by serving others. Romans chapter 12. If you'll find that place, Romans chapter 12. Hey, if I read fast, will y'all listen fast? When I fumble and stumble over the words, will you just look past that and read what's actually there? All right, cool, thanks. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Service. It only makes sense that you would give your life to the one who gave his life for you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So don't be like the world anymore, but be transformed. Go through metamorphosis, that God would change you into everything that he wants you to be so that you can do God's will in your life. In verse 3, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, here we're going to start talking about spiritual gifts, and I feel like Paul's setting it up. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to tell you about your giftedness, but before we get into that, don't think too much of yourself, because if you have giftedness, it's not you. Amen. It's not you. You didn't do it. But God gave that ability to you. He gave you even the very faith that you have in him. So it's all him, it's not you. Everybody with me? Okay. Now let me ask you this before we jump into these details. How many of you ever had friends that were more skilled at something than you were? How many of you have ever looked at some of you are like, no, I'm the most skilled person I know. Okay. How many of you ever looked at your friends who were more skilled in something than you and thought, I wish I had their abilities? Okay? You know, at the same time, somebody was probably looking at you wishing they had your abilities. And all the time, instead of figuring out how God has gifted us, we're worried about what everybody else, and we're comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, and it's not wise. Okay? So just remember, whatever gifts and abilities you have, it's not yours. There's no reason for you to boast. Okay? In any area of your life, you have no right to boast, because everything that you have, every ability you have, comes from God. Okay. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So members of one body, Every person in the church is part, a different part of the body. The body is Christ. Christ is the head. And all of us don't have the same place. We have different parts to play in the body. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So not only are we all different, but we're part of the same body. So, but we are connected because we're all part of the same body. Right? Oh, man, goodness. Help me out, guys. Everybody go like this? Amen. Just everybody go like this, please. The faster you do it, the faster it'll be over. Okay? Now your thumb is part of your body, right? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you have a thumb? Amen. It's opposable so you can do things other animals can't do. It's great. Okay, everybody has a thumb. And you guys remember the old joke? Everybody look at it. You got a fingerprint? Got a thumbprint? Now you just say this with me. I am thumb body. Okay. And that's so bad. It's so bad. I don't even know who to blame for that. I can't remember who used to do that. Okay, we're all unique, we're all different. Amen. And every part of your body is different, right? Your nose is different than your toes, Amen. But they're both part of your body. Right. And everybody that's in this church is a different part of the body, but we're all part of the body. We're all connected, okay? Amen. And that's what he's trying to tell us. We're all different, we have different places in the body, but we being many are one body in Christ and members one of another. We're connected Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. By his Spirit. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Amen. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, he's laid it all out, given these gifts, and then he tells us how to do it with love and rejoicing and kind-heartedness to each other. But back up, if you would, please, to verse 6. He says prophesy. He says ministry. He says teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, or we might say administration, and mercy showing. He lists these different things. Now, I'm going to argue with you that these are alive and well in the church today. Amen. Prophesy doesn't mean to foretell the future. This isn't a fortune teller type thing. It means to proclaim the word of God, to preach. And God gives some people for preaching and proclaiming the word of God. God gives some people just with a heart of ministry and the ability to serve others. And all of us do that. He gives some of us special gifting to teaching or to exhortation or to giving or to administration or to mercy showing. Now, all of us ought to be all of those things, but some of us are more gifted in other areas than other people are, and vice versa. Everybody still tracking with me? Okay. You ought to figure out how God's gifted you. And you ought to work to develop those gifts to the glory of God. Discover, develop through prayer and through careful study of the scripture, and then deploy. Deploy your gifts through prayer in humility by ministering to and serving other people and continuing to serve and minister in the church and outside of the church to the glory of God in Christ. I believe God's gifted all of us. Now, we're not going to take the time tonight. I know some of you, the adult Sunday school class, some of you have been studying about some of these things. 1 Corinthians 12, right? Okay. If you haven't seen it lately, you can go back and study it. But let me break it down to you real quick. 1 Corinthians 12, he kind of lays out these same ideas of being part of one body, but different gifts. And a lot of the gifts that he lists in 1 Corinthians 12 are what I talked about earlier, miraculous sign gifts. And God has done away with a lot of those things. In other words, I can't read your mind tonight, but there were people back then who could. I can't lay hands on you and heal you, but back then there were people who could. Okay, there were miraculous things that they could do, and they were for a time, for a purpose, for a season. But then he gets to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and basically he says this. Even when they had the gift of speaking in tongues, miraculously speaking languages they didn't know, Even then, he said, prophesying is greater than speaking in tongues. Why? Because prophesying builds up the church. And our heart, our desire should be to build up one another in Christ. Amen. It's our heart's desire. It's a goal. So, if you're in Jesus tonight, you've been born again. Let me ask you a question. Do you have spiritual gifts? Do you have gifts given to you by the Spirit of God? Amen. Okay, the answer is yes. If you're born again, you have gifts. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know what your giftedness is? Do you know how God has gifted you? If you don't know, then you should ask God to show you. Amen. You should pray about it. And you should get in the Word of God, like places like Romans chapter 12, and you should study that in detail. And you should ask God to show me, God, how am I gifted? How have you equipped me by your Spirit to do the work of serving you by serving others? And then you ought to put it to use. Amen. By going out of your way to serve other people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. And I believe we're going to end with a song tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, that we could discover how you've gifted us. I pray you'd help us just to believe your word. I know so many times we don't feel gifted. Sometimes we feel worthless. But you have given your only son, and you have shown that we have great worth in your eyes. And Lord, I don't understand why, but I know that you love us, and I pray that you'll help us just to love you, that you'll help us by your Spirit to serve you, that you'll show us how you've gifted us and help us to use those gifts to serve you by serving others. I pray that you'll get glory from all that we do. And Lord, as we end our service tonight singing, I pray that Christ will be magnified and that you'll help all of us to respond in faith and obedience to your word and to your Spirit tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing the old rugged cross, page 94.